It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
art, entertainment topics,
automotive topics,
relationships. It's all here. Now, from belowtopsecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
And welcome, everybody, to the sixth installment of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. We hope that you had a great week. Doc, how are you doing?
Now, I'm doing pretty good. Kind of had a week off. I've been watching over the girlfriend with her shoulder surgery, which has been a trip and a half. It's been a lot of fun.
And she's doing well?
Oh, yeah, doing real well. Got to, catch up on some old movies and, just kind of sit around and do nothing. It was kind of fun.
Oh, that's always great when you can do that. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to jump right into another edition of the BTS Mix, and we're going to actually start it off with an article that was posted on Above Top Secret, our sister site, and it has to do with an interview that Jesse Ventura did on Larry King, and it was posted by Modern Academia, and if you have not seen this video, it's definitely well worth the watch. Of course, Jesse Ventura also made an appearance on the Colbert Report. He has some controversial ideas about things, but a lot of members really plugged into what Jesse was saying.
Yeah, and if you go into the section, and this is another current events, it has almost 90 stars attached to it. People were really animate about, coming in and taking a look at this video because it's a lot of really interesting ideas from old Jesse Ventura, which, of course, back in the day was one of my favorite wrestlers.
Some of the disagreements, of course, are with his views on illegal immigration. But most of the posters agree that, the guy's got some great ideas. He's not thrilled with any of the political candidates. And I'm kind of on the same boat that Jesse is here. I'm not too impressed with Obama. I'm not too impressed with Hillary, and I'm not too impressed with McCain either. So one of the posts said, if you don't vote, that's almost a protest. And go ahead and do that, because we've all heard the saying, if you don't vote, you don't have any right to complain. Well, if you want to complain, sometimes the best way to do that is to not vote.
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, the fewer amount of people voting means that, people are just not happy with the way things are going. And it's, when you have two or three people to choose from, it doesn't give you a whole lot when it's mostly all the same. And I'm kind of hip to the whole idea of an outsider, and certainly, ex-pro wrestler Jesse Ventura is certainly an outsider, and it gives you the impression, or at least the perception, that he is kind of just a normal guy, and you're getting a true, genuine opinion from a normal guy who hasn't been fettered with politics his entire life. So I think that's really interesting and a good positive thing for our political culture.
All right, Doc, it's time to jump into one of our favorite forums on the Below Top Secret website, and that, of course, is Rants, and one of my favorites, and I think everybody else is pretty fed up with this, too. What the heck is going on with gas prices?
Man, isn't that the question of the year, if not the decade? I mean, I remember it was not too long ago that you could go and fill up for $1.35 a gallon. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And now it's almost $4. Here in New York, I just filled up my gas tank, and I drive a little compact car, thank God. But, you go and the gas prices are $3.60, $3.65, and that's for the low octane stuff. That's for the crap stuff.
So Electric Uncle Sam posted, so what is going on with the prices of gas, man? I heard somewhere it's up to $4 a gallon, $1,200 to fill up a big rig, $100 worth to fill up a pickup truck, $50 to fill up an economy car. Doesn't our government realize that the price of gas pretty much controls the price of everything in our economy?
Yeah, and that's the truth. And he goes on to basically say, if it costs $1,200 to fill up a rig with gasoline, that means that rig carrying milk and groceries and products and goods and all that stuff to you has to go up too, because they have to pay for the gas somehow. And it, I can rant about this because it's sickening to me that these oil companies are making, hundreds of billions of dollars of profit, just smiling all the way to the bank. And anytime that anyone threatens them with why they're doing this and why they're paying so much, just recently the oil companies came back and said, go ahead, question what we do and your gas prices will go up even more. I think it's just sick.
The problem with this is our government, because we pay so much in tax on gasoline. And I think Congress just passed $30 billion, something or another tax increase on the oil companies. Well, guess who's going to end up paying that, Congress? It's going to be us poor middle class folks. And that price is just passed right on down to us. The problem with America now, and we're seeing it more and more, and Jesse kind of touched on this, was the fact that, you know, we're controlled by corporations. Corporations are running this nation instead of the people having a voice. You've got politicians who are in the back pocket of these corporations. They'll take a position in our government, and yet when they get out, I mean, because they're in the back pocket of these corporations, they've got a cushy job when they're done. They don't have to worry about $4 a gallon gas prices because the government's paying for their gas, or they've got enough money to do it. And it's just sickening. It's ridiculous. And this is all going to come back to bite us in the end. It really is. I've talked with people out here, and I've talked with truckers, and they're like, we can't even make a living. We can't make a living. They're going to crush us. Now we've got trucks coming in from Mexico, and they're competing with us. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to get stuck. We're going to get stuck with higher gas prices. We're going to get stuck with higher everything prices because our economy is oil driven.
Well, an acetastic writes in, and he says, dude, you want to try living in England? It's getting effing ridiculous. My local garage charges $104.9 per liter. It costs me 50 quid to fill up my car. And that works out like this. 50 quid equals about $100. So, you know, I mean, it's not just the U.S., it's everywhere. And let's face it, I mean, gas prices in Europe have always been higher than they have in the U.S. And certainly we did have it a little too good, I think, for a little too long. But again, where does the buck stop, and how high can these gas prices go before people just start to revolt?
Well, hopefully not too much longer, but I'm afraid, Doc, that we're just going to see people just kind of take it, and they're going to keep taking it. I mean, if you'd have told people 5 years ago, you're going to be paying $4 a gallon for gas. Now, if we go into Iran, since General Fallon is out of the way, he's retired. He was the only general that was saying, hey, you're not going into Iran. We don't have the resources. We don't have all this other stuff to go into a major military campaign in Iran. And that looks like our government's gearing up for something like that. You're going to see, I bet you, $6 to $8 a gallon gasoline hit the pumps. And people can't afford that. People on fixed incomes, the elderly, there's no way they can pay for this gas. People who make a living transporting our goods and services back and forth, they can't make a living. The inflation is fixing to skyrocket, and nobody's doing anything about it except complaining. I mean, I've driven less. I mean, I find myself driving a lot less and really watching how I drive. But still, our economy and even our lives are based on being able to transport, to go around. And one of our posters put that. I mean, it's like America's pretty big. It's pretty wide spaced. And you've got to drive to get to work, or you've got to drive to commute and do all these other things. But you don't have the money, the extra money in your bank account to start covering double and triple what your gas bill was last year.
Well, you know, I have a theory and I guess maybe even a solution to the problem. What they just need to start doing, and I realize this might be a conflict of interest with the whole drinking and driving thing, but I think they should have like whiskey dispensers sitting at the gas pump. So before you go fill up, you can take a few good shots of whiskey and then fill up, and maybe it'll soften the blow a little bit.
Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, we're just kidding. That's just a joke.
Yes, that is a joke. Big joke, yeah.
All right, so what would you do, Doc? We're going to jump into something else that is almost a rant but makes you think, too, is in the relationship forum, what would you do if you found your spouse in bed with another?
And this comes from Delta Boy, and this is kind of a fun little topic. And he basically gives you five options of if you ran into your spouse in bed with another person, he gives you five options of what you could do. One, pull out a gun and kill your spouse and the other partner, a little drastic. Two, take off your clothes and have a threesome, taking, the glass half full kind of approach to it. Three, leave the room and never think of it again. Four, get a divorce. Five, don't be mad since you also do the same thing as well behind your spouse's back. So it's a equilibrium situation with number five there. Oh, so Spencer, the question goes off to you. What would you do?
Man, I don't know. I mean, that happened to me in college. It was a little traumatic. I mean, you have a bunch of adrenaline flowing through you. You have shock, you have disappointment, you have shame for just believing this other person probably loved you, and then they turn out not to love you. I mean, it runs the gambit. I would like to think that I wouldn't become violent over something like that. You sure don't want to take the violent approach, but I did like what someone posted, about this, and it was, Lucid Lunacy. And, they'd fake a number five. Said, if I walked in and saw my lover with another and they didn't notice me, I would quietly walk back out. I would call a friend, have her come over, and we would walk in on them together pretending we were about to get it on ourselves. And then we'd barge right out, you know, with a bottle of wine. Ooh, oh, this is awkward, you know, and then wait about a year and then do a number five, which is get a divorce.
I like what West Point 23 wrote in, and West Point 23 is obviously a military man, and he has a pretty kind of cool, calm approach to the whole thing. And he says, I'd leave the room to calm myself, get a camera, go back in, take a few pictures, throw both of them out without saying a word, only resorting to physical means if I have to. File for divorce, use the pictures in court, get custody of the kids if there are any, put her stuff up on eBay, and then proceed to live a normal life. That's a pretty well thought out plan. You can tell West Point 23 is giving this some thought.
That guy has got it figured out. Don't overreact. Just have a plan and take care of it. Now, he gets a couple of stars from me for that.
Absolutely. Take care of business in court, man. Put the thumb screws to her. You know what I'm saying? Really, really hit it where it counts, because you can do a lot more damage in a courtroom than you can. Well, and, you know, back to what you were saying, you know, you want to try and stay away from violence. But that's why, you know, the justice system has the term crime of passion. It's, you know, you walk in on someone with your spouse and you just can go into a rage. I mean, that, you know, that's almost criminal insanity right there. What, you know, what could be going through your head if you saw your spouse in bed with someone?
Now, speaking of relationships, Doc, we've got a relationship expert. Miss Stephanie Alexander is going to be in right after the break, and we're going to be talking about internet dating and, ladies, how you can protect yourself from Mr. Wrong. And that's all coming up next on the BTS Mix. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock.
Question: what does the NSA, CIA, OSI, MI6, U.S. Secret Service, NASA, the Pentagon, EPA, the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, FEMA, the U.S. Department of State, the United States Navy, the United States Marines, the U.S. Army, United States Air Force, the United Kingdom House of Lords and House of Commons, Buckingham Palace, Forbes Magazine, Time, The New York Post, The Wall Street Journal, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNBC, to name just a small few, have in common. Answer? These plus thousands of others have registered members and constant visitors to all three sites on the Above Network LLC. AboveTopSecret.com, BelowTopSecret.com, and AbovePolitics.com. Get smart. Be part of the revolution that is being heard around the world.
And we're back with the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And joining us now is Stephanie Alexander, and she is the CEO and founder of WomanSavers.com. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm doing great.
Great. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. And for those of our listeners who are not familiar with WomanSavers.com, go ahead and tell us a little bit about the website and what your whole situation is with it.
Well, I founded Woman Savers back in 2002 after getting out of a bad relationship, and it's Woman Savers spelled with an A-N, not an E-N. A lot of people make that mistake and they type in women. It's singular womansavers.com. And I basically had experienced every form of abuse that's out there, physical, verbal, emotional, sexual. And everywhere I turned, a woman had a story, a similar story. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we created a database where women could network together to share their stories so we could make better, safer, and more informed decisions regarding the men in our lives? And so that has now turned into one of the Internet's most popular websites. It's in the top 5%, and it receives like over 1.5 million hits a month. And it is home to the world's largest database rating men now.
Now, Stephanie, your website has caused quite a bit of controversy. Tell us why.
It's controversial because the Internet is a double-edged sword, and people can use the Internet, obviously, for revenge and to do a lot of horrible things. For example, it's not possible to really guarantee or verify anything. I could go to a local cyber cafe or a library, and I could pretend to be a man, and I could get myself a free email account, and I could basically destroy somebody's reputation and life if I chose to do that. So some of the terms of agreement that people have to agree to before they post on Woman Savers is that they're telling the truth. because the truth is 100% defense to libel. So, for example, you could say John or Jane is a jerk, or, you know, I think John or Jane is a jerk, and that falls under your opinion, freedom of speech, the First Amendment. But if you say something like, John gave me AIDS, you are legally allowed to say that if you have factual proof to back up your statement, or you could be sued for libel, which is written. Slander is verbal.
Well, I was looking through the website, and there really is there's a plethora of really great information on here, and tons of articles by Stephanie, and a lot of really, really good information. Stephanie, would you say that this is a website that's good for verification? For example, say you're with someone and you have suspicions that maybe they're cheating on you, or maybe they have a history of some sort of violence or abuse. Would you say that this is a great resource then to go on and verify that information if you have an idea that you think someone is up to something?
This is what I usually recommend. I recommend doing a series of checks. And the first one, obviously, is a criminal background check, which you can get on various websites on the Internet for under $50 now. That's pretty much mandatory if you want to protect yourself, your family, and the things that you value. Thereafter, I would do a sexual predator check to see where the sexual predators are located in my neighborhood so I could be aware if I have children to protect them on their way to school and trick-or-treating and things like that. Then I would follow that up with a character check on websites like WomanSavers.com to make sure that person doesn't have a string of bad relationships. WomanSavers is full of good and bad men, but unfortunately about 80% are negative. And there's everything from pedophiles to convicted felons, serial cheaters, bigamists, con artists, you name it, they're entered in there. And if a man is entered multiple times by multiple women, there is almost always an issue, and this allows you to at least proceed with caution. A man is also free to tell his side of the story, because there are two sides to every story.
Now, Stephanie, this is kind of curious. I always wondered about this. Have you ever had two women that go, oh my gosh, we dated the same guy, and this guy's married to you, but he's dating me?
Yes. That happens all the time. That's really common. In fact, MSNBC did a survey, and I don't know where they got their statistics from, but it actually said that I think it was a quarter of all quote-unquote single and available men on dating sites are actually married.
A quarter of them?
I believe it was two out of every five.
So if you had a million guys on a dating site, 250,000 of them would be married.
That's right.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
That's a little startling, to say the least.
Again, I don't know where they did their survey, but they published this all over the place, and I found it quite interesting. I've polled over 400,000 women on relationship and sex topics that I was curious about, because there's very few polls around on the topics I was interested in, especially dealing in abuse. And the results are very interesting. And I also noticed something else. Women who are in abusive relationships usually do not have resources to afford a psychiatrist or professional help, and they are also embarrassed about their situation, too much so to trust speaking to their friends or family. So what I did is I got a volunteer physician and a volunteer psychotherapist that gives free advice to women in need. So a woman can anonymously go onto our forums, which is the number one most popular abused women's forum on the Internet. She can post her problem. She can get professional responses and also responses from women who have been abused or been through infidelity, and get responses from around the world, you know, in a matter of minutes for free.
And just to remind our listeners, that's womansavers.com, W-O-M-A-N, singular, savers.com, and you can get all of this information. Stephanie, I have a question for you. Let's say that a young woman, say, meets someone on an Internet dating site and goes out on a date with them. What would you say are the three leading signs, kind of caution signs, I guess, warning signs that should tip off the young woman that maybe something isn't quite right? Is there something to look for, a certain behavior, a certain pattern that you can kind of recognize just to maybe clue you?
Yeah, there are lots of things to look for, both for men and for women. First of all, they should always meet at a public place and let somebody know where you're going. And, you know, maybe meet at a coffee shop for a designated amount of time and let them know that you need to be somewhere, say, at 1 o'clock so that you have an out. Then you should watch for their behavior, how they talk about their exes, how they speak about their friends, if they are prejudiced, you know, against women or things like that. Those are big red flags, how they treat people around them. Waiters, for example, if somebody is rude, that's a big red flag. If it sounds too good to be true, I hate to say that, it usually is. And go with your gut instinct, because your gut instinct is almost always right. Somehow we have a sixth sense that if we feel something isn't right, that tells us, you know, we need to investigate that a little bit further before we move ahead.
Stephanie, it seems like and it could be men or women, but when they get out of a bad relationship, they seem to fall right back into that same old rut of finding the exact same person they just left, and it's just a bad situation. How do you advise women to get out of that?
That's a really difficult one, because women and men, they repeat their patterns. The tendency is to recycle the same type of situation and over again. And to break out of it, you actually have to, first of all, acknowledge it. It's kind of like being an alcoholic. You have to realize that you have a problem. You have to acknowledge it. And then you have to test yourself, literally test yourself. You know, if you find yourself being drawn again to that same kind of person, maybe, you know, the sexy blonde with big boobs, or perhaps the player bad boy, then you need to say, you know what, I've made a mistake with this type of person, you know, 3 or 4 times in the past. I'm going to learn from my mistakes, and this time I'm going to look past that and try to find somebody different.
Stephanie, we've talked about the bad guys that are on the site. Are there any good guys on WomanSavers.com?
Yes, there are good guys on there. There are women who, both married and single, that will enter their boyfriends or husbands, and they will say, oh, you know, I love my husband so much. He's a wonderful father, a wonderful provider, the greatest guy on earth. He's taken, ladies, stay away. I mean, I've seen posts like that. I've also seen posts that say, you know, he is a great guy, he just wasn't right for me. You know, I wish him the best of luck. And men will self-post themselves. So you can't control that part either. So they pretend that they're a woman, and they go in there and they just rant and rave. But usually they end up posting, you know, quite a few sexual details about how much they can perform in bed. So that
red flag.
You can usually see through those posts, because women usually don't post about those kind of things. I mean, once in a while, but very rarely.
So, when you go on there and you see Doc Hancock and how amazing he is in bed, don't pay any mind to it. It's all crap. It's all blowing smoke.
He can outperform any guy.
Stephanie, you also have a book out called Sex, Lies, and the Internet. Tell us a little bit about that and where people can get that.
Sex, Lies, and the Internet is an online dating survival guide that I wrote for women because they are not screening their dates. They need to know the tips and techniques on how to do it quickly, easily, where to go. Also, it's chock full of ways to get out of an abusive relationship if you're in one, how to catch a cheater without hiring a costly detective. You know, it just goes on and on about basically how to protect yourself from men and increase your chances of meeting a good guy. And that you can find that at the website sexliesandtheinternet.com, all spelled out, or you can also go to womansavers.com.
Well, Stephanie, I'm just completely enamored by your cause, and I think that this is an incredible resource, and I urge anyone who has any questions to please log on to the website. Again, that's womansavers.com, and again, there are tons and tons of links and lots of really great resources on here for anyone, both men and women.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It was a pleasure, and I would love to come back anytime.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, and good luck with everything in the future, and we hope that your book does well, and we hope that everything you do goes really well. Thanks again for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Are you ready for a close encounter of the tinfoil kind and want to do some collaborative writing with some of the most intelligent people on planet Earth? Then go to our board home at AboveTopSecret.com. And find tinwiki.org in the conspiracy theory discussion forum area. 10Wiki is an online encyclopedia where members can create new pages and where every page can be edited by anyone reading the page and wanting to improve it. The 10Wiki Encyclopedia is for a specific type of topics only, such as conspiracy theories, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal phenomena, mythological creatures, lost civilizations, and life on other planets, just to name a few. So join thousands of other ATS members in creating an encyclopedia of AboveTopSecret.com articles that will be viewed by millions of members and guests from around the world. And if you happen to see William Wonsack or Optimus, tell them Dave Rabbit sent you.
And welcome back to the BTS Mix. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And our next post that we're going to be discussing, the title of the thread really kind of got my attention. And the title is, How Many Five-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight? And this is found in our general entertainment discussion forum here on Below Top Secret. And I got to say, this is another one that, you know, I just kind of cracked up when I read the post. So I had to go in and check it out. And Coca posts this, and this is actually a website that you can go visit. And he says, this is obviously a question that darts across our minds from time to time, and thankfully the issue is now being addressed. No longer will you have to ponder agonizingly over the moral issues relating to these once hidden thoughts. So you go into this website, and basically what it does is it provides a survey for you, and from that survey it determines how many five-year-olds you can take on in a fight. It asks you questions like, what's your body type, what's the reach of your arms, a few other physical questions, how many fights you've been in, and so forth. I actually took the survey, and I can take on 26 five-year-olds if I so chose to.
Now, Doc, did you remember that story that was posted recently about the 8-year-olds? The third grade class, about 8 or so of them, had plotted to kill their teacher.
Oh, yeah, I did read about that. And that's just disturbing. You know, sometimes those little kids can be real conniving. You know, the little schemers coming up with ways to do all sorts of crazy stuff. You get enough of them in mass, man, they'll take over the world if you let them.
If you think, you know, crazy monkeys are bad, I mean, get a bunch of third graders in there together. And, oh, my gosh, they had handcuffs, duct tape. They even had a crew that was picked out that was supposed to clean up the crime scene. And they're probably watching too much CSI and, oh. you gotta wonder, okay, was the teacher really that bad, or is our society just that violent? But you know what? I did take the test, and I can take on about 26.
Well done. Yeah. So between the two of us, Spencer, we could take on a lot of five-year-olds, which is good to know, because I'm under the belief that they could, take over and control the world. And if that comes to be, you want Spencer and Doc on your side in the five-year-old battle. That's all there is to it. Well, you know, I got to tell you, this reminded me of just a real quick story. When I was, I think I was in high school, and I was hanging out with a friend of mine. We were shooting some pool at a local pool hall, and this little kid, he couldn't have been more than 5 or 6, and I have no idea what he was doing hanging out in a pool hall. He came up and just started cursing at my friend, and my friend was just trying to ignore him. He's like, you know, stupid young kid, whatever. And the kid just kept going and going and going, and my friend said, you know, why don't you just shut the hell up and leave us alone? And before you knew it, the little kid's older brothers came by and showed my friend Craig that is not cool. And they just started kicking the crap out of him, which was, kind of scary. But that just goes to show, you know, mess with a five-year-old. They might have a couple older brothers or their older friends with them. So be careful.
That sounds like a setup, though, Doc. That really did.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm convinced of that. But still, man, you got to watch out for those five-year-olds. They're scary. Like those Russian killer squirrels. You got to watch out for them. Always keep your peripheral open for them.
You know, when you're kind of kidding with them and they take it really serious and then they start hitting you. And then you as an adult, you're going, wait a minute, you know, don't hit me. You know, and I kind of picked him up and we're kind of playing. And he kicked me square in the nads. And I'm like going, oh, you know, and I want to go, I'm going to throw you in the pool, you little creep. But you can't because their parents are like watching. Oh, how cute. They're playing. No, he just kicked me in the nads. I'm dying here.
Kicked Spencer in the nads. How cute is that? That's just cute. That's so cute. Give him a brownie. He needs more sugar.
Somebody get a camera. That was so cute. Yeah. No, five-year-olds, they're deadly. Okay. They really, I mean, parents keep them on a leash.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the love of God, don't buy them those little ninja toys. Because once they get a hold of those, it's all over. You know, then you got to really run for your life.
Well, summertime is almost here, Doc, and it's time to start thinking about vacation. And one of my favorite things to do is to go camping. And the Ducks are wrote in the general chit-chat forum, who loves camping and where do you like to go? I made a promise to myself this summer that I'm going to take some time off for a week or so and get back to nature. You have got to camp out in Ontario, Canada. If you're ever in the area, give me a shout and I'll set you up too. Loves to go camping. Also, Spaced Out wrote, Death Valley is where they like to go. Death Valley? Come on, really? Really spaced out? I mean, that's pretty tough. I'd like a place that actually has water, so if there's an emergency or something, you can still survive.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, Spaced Out opens up his post by saying, you know, I am a happy camper, so, you know, I guess maybe he can be happy in Death Valley, but for the rest of us, please find a place with water and some sort of semblance of something to eat around there, just in case if you get stuck out there.
Where's one of your favorite places? Did you ever camp out, Doc?
You know, I did. I camped out once in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, and you know, it's just amazing. It just reminds you, you know, how close you are to nature, and it gives you that sense of, if you had to be on your own and without grocery stores and without the conveniences that we're all, you know, taking so much for granted, you know, it just reminds you that there's something primal about it, that your ancestry was somehow able to, you know, to pull everything together and make nature work with them and really, you know, get into it, which is, it's just great.
Yeah, it reminds you too that the pioneers were some tough folks. They come across the prairie in a covered wagon with just what they could carry along with them and then survive and to make a life is just incredible. I love the Rocky Mountains too, up around Durango and Silverton, around Boulder, Colorado. Love that area. But I like New Mexico too. New Mexico's a little bit drier. There's a little town called Ruidoso, New Mexico, and it's got a ski area there, and it's just one of the nicer kind of a touristy thing, and a lot of people from Texas go up to Ruidoso because it's probably the closest place that they can find to ski when it snows. But it's a nice area. I like to get out on the trail, and what I'll do is I'll have my wife drop me off, and I've got all my gear with me, and if she wants to go do something else, she's more than welcome to do that. Usually hiking is not her favorite thing, but I'll have her drop me about, you know, 15, 20 miles out of town, and then I'll hike through the mountains back to town and then give her a call when I'm near town and she can come pick me up. But hearing the wind in the pines, man, it just pours life into you. It's just a great recreation that goes on in your life just getting out in nature.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I do have a problem, though, with the new age campers, you know, who bring their sport utility vehicles and plug their TVs in and their space heaters and say, oh, yes, we're really roughing it out here. You know, we only have basic channels and, you know, we only get to take three minute showers. You know, this is very difficult.
You know, Super Duper posted something along those lines. Camping always looks fun to me, but I do not like heat. I do not like bugs or snakes or critters in general. I do not like community showers. Well, I mean, it depends, you know. And I don't like a hole in the ground as a bathroom. Well, you know, that reminds me of a girlfriend I used to have that her idea of roughing it was actually the Bellagio in Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and at that point, you just need to say that's the kind of person that needs to spend 2 weeks out in a tent with their own with nothing but a pocket knife and a couple matches to light a fire every now and again. You know,
they'd never survive.
Exactly. You know, just give a little humility to it at the very least. And if not, you know, well, you know, that's the way it goes.
All right, so hole in the ground to the grossest thing you've ever done to you or done to somebody else. This is in the general chit-chat forum, and it's posted by Electric Uncle Sam. All right, so I was wondering, what's the grossest thing you ever heard, did, or had someone do to you or was witnessed by? And goes on to say, I remember this girl told me a story. I was working at DirecTV, and she said she used to be a dental hygienist. Not exactly sure what they do, but from what I get out of it, they help dentists, well, pretty much the mundane task, and they do cleanings, by the way. This older fellow came in complaining of pain in his upper jaw. When they brought him in, they found out that he had dentures, so they removed the dentures to find used bologna. He used bologna to hold them in. The kicker was he hadn't changed his teeth or the bologna in about 3 weeks. Oh, my gosh.
Well, first of all, my question is, I was completely unaware that you could use bologna to hold dentures in. What? That leaves me absolutely speechless. And how did this guy figure this out? Was he just sitting there? He's like, oh, well, my dentures are loose. I think I'll pick up some of this bologna and put them in my dentures. Oh, well, that works great. And then apparently just decide, oh, well, I'm just going to leave it in there. You know, why have to deal with the inconvenience of removing the bologna from my dentures?
Oh, my God. Gosh, can you imagine the smell?
I don't even want to think about it. I mean, that's just absolutely repulsive.
Okay, well, we probably grossed the heck out of Access Denied then. I absolutely cannot stand to be nauseated. I would rather shoot myself in the foot or give birth than throw up. It's the worst thing in the world to me. My body fights it off pretty well, but a couple of years ago, my family got hit with a nasty stomach flu bug. I had four kids puking all at the same time. You have no idea how hellish that was. But then the bug hit me. I was just freaking out. I wanted to die. 3 days of it. Well, hang in there, honey. Did you know, Doc, that the voted worst sound that people can't stand to hear is the sound of someone vomiting?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people have the condition where they see someone get sick. They can't help but get sick as well.
Well, that's just got to be nasty.
Yeah. Lord Infamous writes in and he says, let's see, the grossest thing that ever happened to me. After last year's New Year's party, I spent the night at my friend's house. His girlfriend's friend and me were passed out on the floor. She crawls on top, and I was about to, tell her Happy New Year. Then all of a sudden, she pukes all over my chest. Access Denied would not get along very well with Lord Infamous, and certainly not tales of ribaldry with his New Year's story.
Okay, time for a personal story. Here we go, Doc. So my little girl is probably about 3 years old. Close to 3 years old, and we're at a picnic function with family, and she's not feeling great, and she has an instant gag reflex. I mean, it's just like anything. So she has a sour ball. They have this candy they're passing out, and she puts it in her mouth, and then she starts to get sick. She goes, "Daddy, I really don't feel good." I said, "Okay, honey, we'll go to the bathroom." So we're trotting along the bathroom, and she goes, "Ugh." And I went, "What?" And when I turned to face her, because I was holding her at, you know, up above me at face level, she pukes and it goes all in my mouth. And I'm like going, "Oh my gosh." And people are freaking out. It's down the front of my shirt. And oh, yeah, I didn't puke. You'd be proud of me. I did not puke. But oh my gosh, I took off running and just stuck her under the cold water in the sink in the bathroom.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough. You know, but man, I miss being a little kid. Because now if I threw up on somebody, they'd get real mad at me. You know, when you're a little kid, you can sleep all day, throw up on people, poop your pants, and no one gives you a hard time. Now, you know, I do anything like that, and I get funny looks and weird looks, and my girlfriend won't take me to the mall with her. It's really
interesting. Oh, you either have to be young or an old person to get away with that, you know?
Depends. And that takes us right into our next segment. And we have been having one dog of a time trying to stump Silent Shadow. He's gotten it right every time over the past 5 screen tests. So hopefully we've come up with something that will stump him. This is a very straightforward, simple question. What actor has appeared in Magnum P.I., Heard in History of the World Part 1, and Grace the Muppet Movie? So again, what actor has appeared in Magnum P.I., Heard in History of the World Part 1, and has graced the Muppet Movie? And I'll also throw in a little side thing here. He made an appearance in the 80s movie of Transformers, so the 80s Transformers movie, if you take it back to 85 or 86. There's the BTS mixed screen test, and right on in. It could be worth 500 points for you.
And we'll be back with more of the BTS mix next. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock.
Hello, everyone. I'm Spencer Tracy. Along with Doc Hancock, I host the new BTS Mix Show. We have a lot of fun, and when we're done with our shows, we like to head over and listen to our sister shows, the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case on the Above Network LLC. The ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous is the source for the latest information on breaking stories, conspiracy theories, and some stuff that's just plain weird. Johnny and Dave have insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their field. When I need the latest news and insight from the political arena, I log on to the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin really break it down for me. They discuss member posts, interview members about their stance on the issues, and they have access to today's noted political figures and authors. So come on over and deny boredom with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host, the marvelous Doc Hancock, on the BTS Mix Show. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network LLC.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy.
And we are in the general chit-chat forum right now, and I came across a pretty interesting thread here. It's your favorite exotic pet. What is it and why? pretty simple. Electric Uncle Sam actually puts this in, and he says, for example, I own a tarantula and a scorpion. My favorite would be to have a centipede, though, a big aggressive ones with lots of poison. Don't know why I like them, but most likely it's because they're all badass. They don't waste time killing the prey. They just grab it and start eating. Also, some species have poison on every leg. They are crazy killing machines. The scorpion is also one of my favorites because they can more or less take on any other predator and whoop them pretty good. Once they clamp onto something, it's dead and immobilized. My scorpion is about 7 to 8 inches from the head to the end of the tail, and he is a bad mofo. Fact, his name is Bootstrap. And Electric Uncle Sam actually posts a picture of Bootstrap the scorpion here. And I got to say, that is a pretty bad-looking mofo. What do you think, Spencer?
I tell you what, I would not want to mess with Backstrap. Bootstrap or Backstrap?
Bootstrap, he's a bad mofo.
Yeah, I had some Backstrap last night. No, but, you know, I remember as a kid having scorpions around the house, and we had a Cocker Spaniel. And this thing would, I don't know how it would hear the scorpions, but we'd wake up in the middle of the night, and this as a kid, and this thing was like, rah, 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 rah. And did you know that scorpions, you can actually, if you have like a black light, if you hold it up in your room, scorpions glow. So you can actually spot them pretty easily. Now, we didn't do that when I was a kid. We just, you know, waited for Gigi to bark at the little monster crawling around the floor, and then Dad would get up and take care of it. But, yeah, scorpions, they're pretty tough. This is my dare to myself, though. One of these days, because I saw somebody do this on the Discovery Channel, and I want to be real careful when I do it, but I want to eat a scorpion. Now, you've got to bite the stinger off. Obviously, you've got to hold it by that stinger. Now, don't ask me why I want to do this. It's the same reason that, you know, he likes to have those weird pets. I want to eat them just to prove that I can.
Yeah, well, there's that certain level of dominance. Like, yeah, I just ate a scorpion. What now? You know, you're going to come mess with me? I don't think so. I eat bad mofo for breakfast.
You want to mess with me? You want to mess with me? Watch this. And watch people freak out. Now, my wife has a deathly awful fear of snakes. I mean, she won't watch snakes on a plane. She doesn't like to see pictures of snakes. And I'm the guy that at work at night, because, you know, West Texas, we have everything that'll bite you, stab you, stick you, or, you know, sting you. It doesn't really matter. We have everything here in Texas that will do anything bad to you. And one of those things, of course, is rattlesnakes. So I get a call pretty much 4 or 5 times throughout the summer. We've got a rattlesnake down here at the back door. Would you mind coming and killing it? Is it bothering you? Well, it's scaring me. Okay. All right, fine. If I can keep from killing it, I do. But again, I don't want anybody to get bit by one of these things. I will tell you this, Doc. There's something called the Sweetwater Rattlesnake Roundup in West Texas, in Sweetwater, Texas. And I visit with these guys about once a year, and they bring snakes. They bring snakes with them, live rattlesnakes. Now, the trick with a live rattlesnake is to keep it cold because it won't strike then. But evidently, these thawed out a little bit, and they were a little lively. But I thought, well, I'm going to freak this guy out, and I'm stupid. So I went, well, I mean, he had the snake's mouth open. See those fangs? And he had a little pencil behind him, and I'm like, and I went, well, can I touch one? He goes, well, be careful. So I touched the fang, okay? Well, about 3 days later, I noticed that I've got 3 layers of skin that has been digested off the end of my finger.
Oh, geez.
And I'm going, boy, you are such an idiot. I try not to tell anybody that because they go, you are such an idiot. But, yeah, exotic pets are great. But, oh, my gosh, I mean, the more dangerous ones, you've really got to be careful with.
Well, I'll tell you, 1 or 2 years ago here in the city, some guy up in Harlem had apparently a fetish for exotic pets. And in his city apartment, now we're not talking about a huge, you know, massive acreage compound here or anything. We're talking about a New York City, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3 bedroom max apartment. And in this apartment, the guy had a ginormous anaconda. I mean, we're talking, you know, one of those big 30-foot things that eats children. And he also...
I can't find my kids.
Where did little Jimmy go? I can't find him. Maybe the anaconda got him. And in the same apartment with the anaconda, he had a full-sized Bengali tiger. So...
Oh, my God.
Now... Believe it or not, one day the anaconda and the tiger actually got into a fight, and apparently it was making so much noise, the neighbors called the police. The police came over. They heard all this racket going on. They kick open the door, and what do they see but this snake in a fight with this huge tiger? What would you do? New York City police are pretty, you know, tough guys. I mean, they're pretty much prepared for anything. Could you imagine walking in on that? What would you even do?
Well, I think, first of all, I would go, Then I would quietly shut the door and come back in 30 minutes and see who won.
Well, it was like that. Oh, geez, did you see that picture of the alligator and the anaconda that got into a
oh, net? Yeah.
And so this anaconda swallows the alligator. Oh, yeah, it split the thing right in half. Unbelievable.
Evidently, people in Florida are, like, dumping their anacondas after they get too big, and they're getting out into the Everglades, and now they're kind of really going after the alligator population. So sometimes they win, sometimes they don't. And yeah, that picture that you're talking about, an anaconda killed an alligator and then tried to swallow it. Well, it couldn't swallow it, and it exploded. So that was a little freaky. But, yeah, that's something they're dealing with really bad down in Florida, are the pets, the exotic pets that are being released into the wild.
Yeah. So that just goes to show, folks, if you get exotic pets, fine, but hang on to them. Don't release them into the wild, for crying out loud. The elevated one, who's actually a super moderator here on BTS, took it to the softer side, and he said, mine would be koala bears. And I got to say, man, you know, from what I understand, koala bears are, like, so totally cute, and they're fun, and they're neat and everything, but they are nasty mofos. I mean, they'll tear your face off if you give them the chance.
Yeah, have you seen the claws on those things? They are not well-mannered. I mean, the only reason they're well-mannered is they're like, oh, man, you want some more eucalyptus? Cool. Yeah. Oh, man, some guy's grabbing me. I'm going to, like, turn to pieces. And they turn into a little chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. And they're so inviting. They're like, oh, you know, I just sit here and eat my eucalyptus. And then, bam, man, they'll go after you like a ninja. Don't even think about it, man. I think, wow, yeah, no koala bears for me. I'd like a penguin. Penguins are my favorite animals, and I'd love to have a penguin running around the house. You know, maybe build like a little freezer for him. He
yeah.
could slide out and come out and say hi, waddle around a little bit. We'd have a good time. It'd be awesome.
Only thing is that penguin poop smells like bad fish. That's the only thing. You'd have to put down some plastic, and you'd have to train him, you know, to poo on the plastic. But yeah, other than your apartment smelling like a cannery, yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, see, my penguin would be the smartest penguin ever. He'd be like building rockets in the back and coming up with like new mathematical equations and stuff. Getting him to poop on plastic would be nothing. He'd take himself outside, you know, maybe go get some groceries or something. It'd be pretty sweet. I'd train him. It'd be awesome.
Okay. Well, speaking of training people and helping them with their computers, let's talk about our next forum, which is Computer Help and the discussion forum thread list. And we're not going to go into specifics here, but we will tell you that occasionally we all need help with computers, whether that's you're trying to use Windows and you want it to do text-to-speech, or you're having a problem with a battery on a particular model, or there's a software glitch somewhere. I promise you, the folks on Below Top Secret are some smart folks, and if you will just post your question, like, I'm having a problem. Why are my icons talking? Hello? No. Well, you know, we'll make fun of you then. But if you have any other questions about browsers or things like that, there's always somebody on the site that's willing to help you. And we've got some great folks that are always offering help to people with questions.
Well, what about my problem? I think there's a conspiracy that people keep getting me try to do Viagra. I keep getting all these Viagra messages. Do you think that's a conspiracy from my computer trying to tell me something?
Okay, hold on. Note to self, take Doc off Viagra spammer list. Okay. No, I don't. You probably won't have a problem with those anymore.
No, oh, you're the one that controls that. Darn you, Spencer. I knew it. I knew it from the beginning. I had my thoughts about you. Oh.
Well, your fiance called. That's the only reason. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, below the belt. Totally below the belt. And moving right along, coming actually in touch with Viagra, our next thread, I actually put this up because I wanted to see, you know, what sweet moves people use to put on people. So I wanted to know what people's best pickup lines were. If you're in a bar, if you're, you know, out in the mall or something, and you, you know, you're trying to maybe get some digits, or you want to, you know, ask somebody out on a date, what are you saying? Well, I put up a couple of my personal favorites, the first one being, woman, you remind me of a prize-winning bass. I don't know whether I should mount you or eat you. Also, your legs must be tired because you've been running through my mind all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, those are pretty lame, so I was hoping that people would come in with some better stuff, and it looks like they did.
All right, so give us a few examples of pickup lines, because I don't have any. I mean, usually my pickup lines are off Quagmire from Family Guy.
Which is an awesome source for pickup lines.
At least my wife puts up with it. Hey, honey,
I wish I was in control of the alphabet because I'd put I and you together. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'll get the ladies. Electric Uncle Sam. We've actually mentioned Electric Uncle Sam a few times now on the show. He writes in and says, do you drink a lot of Snapple? Because you look like you're made from the best stuff on Earth. Ha, 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 ha. I must be a hunter because I just found a fox. And it's really important that you throw in the after you say the line, because, you know, that really, you know, puts the nail in it, you know, and
in your coffin afterwards. Yeah.
Let's see. Cheeky Monkey writes in, after talking for a while, say, you're boring me. Is your friend more fun? Oh, how they bite. And Cheeky Monkey, what a lady killer. That Cheeky Monkey, I gotta tell you. Also, Cheeky Monkey writes in, nice ass. Can I wear it as a hat? we'll save that one for the BTS late night. But Cheeky Monkey, maybe not the best place to go for real pickup lines.
Don't use those.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us for another edition of the BTS Mix Show.
I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.